You texted that audio and I was like, you taped the whole thing by yourself? I was right here. Welcome to this week's episode of Rollin' Forward.
I'm Dr. Alicia Rollin.
I'm Dr. Stephanie Rollin.
We are both physicians. I'm a pediatrician.
And I'm a psychiatrist.
And we spend our time split between clinical work and research.
Yes.
On this podcast, we break down health news that's coming really rapidly at us to help everyone understand exactly what's happening.
And this summer, we thought we'd do something fun by, well, fun. Fun is relative. By focusing on 2025 SCOTUS cases so that we can understand how the shifting legal landscape is going to be affecting children's health, children's education, children's lives in all these different ways.
And there's been a doozy season for the Supreme Court.
They've had their season. Now we're breaking it down for you. And the case that we're going to talk about today is a case called AJT versus Osseo Area Schools.
Is that how you say it? Osseo?
Oh, I don't know how.
I definitely would have said Osseo.
Osseo.
Osseo? Osseo sounds nicer.
Osseo. Is it Osseo?
I don't know. I'm asking.
It's so funny. Google, Google News. Okay. Let me find a video.
Osseo.
I think we were both wrong. Osseo.
My decision in AJT versus Osseo Area Public.
Osseo?
AI says Osseo, but that person said, although is that person right or wrong? No one knows.
Okay, another one.
Okay, we are waiting for a decision on a Supreme Court case that could make it harder for disabled students to sue their schools for discrimination.
Osseo.
That's British.
Okay.
Osseo. Actually, the game is to say a different pronunciation every time you say it. How many different ways can you say it by the end of this 15 minutes?
So AJT versus Osseo Area Schools.
This is a case I actually hadn't particularly focused on in my bingo card of SCOTUS cases that I've been following.
Because there were just so many this year. But this case starts with a teenager named AJT. She lives with Lennox-Gastaut syndrome, which is a form of epilepsy.
Sometimes patients can have clusters of seizures and they can have upwards of 30, 50, 100 seizures a day. Sometimes patients with Lennox-Gastaut syndrome have a lot less seizures, but it's highly variable based on the person.
And for this particular teen, AJT, she had more seizures in the morning, which meant that going to school in the morning was really difficult. She lived in Kentucky, and her school accommodated her by providing her evening instruction. Then her family moves to Minnesota.
Dun, dun, dun!
And they move to Osseo Area Schools, and Osseo Area Schools refuse to provide evening instruction, which means that she now is receiving only about 65% of the number of hours that her peers are. So each day she's receiving about 4 hours of schooling, whereas the standard is 6.5 hours. Understandably, her family was upset because the old school district that they had lived in was able to accommodate them with evening hours and the new school district was refusing. And so her family sued under the Individuals with Disability Education Act. This is a federal law that ensures that students with disabilities are entitled to a free and appropriate public education in the least restrictive environment possible. And her family said that the school's failure to accommodate with evening instruction was a violation under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act.
This initial lawsuit led to actually a favorable ruling for the family and led to an order that the school needed to provide evening instruction for AJT.
And that's the point of IDEO. And this is the way that families pursue services like classroom aides, extended test times, flexible scheduling, like what her family needed. And then after they were able to secure that, her family pursued additional lawsuits under the American with Disabilities Act and Section 504 seeking damages and an injunction. Essentially, the ADA applies to public and private sectors. It prohibits disability discrimination more broadly. And Section 504 applies to any school or program receiving federal funds, and it prohibits disability-based discrimination.
With these further lawsuits, the Eighth Circuit Court sided with the school district. They applied a heightened standard requiring proof of, quote, bad faith or gross misjudgment to succeed in the ADA or the 504 claims.
Which is really a unique burden because most disability discrimination cases under the ADA in Section 504 require that plaintiffs show something called deliberate indifference, which is a lower standard of evidence than what was being asked for in this case, which was bad faith or gross misjudgment.
This, quote, bad faith or gross misjudgment actually comes from a longstanding precedence from a case from 1982.
Which goes to show how these cases live on for decades.
So on June 12th, 2025, the Supreme Court decided unanimously 9-0 to reject the hired standard, affirming that school-based claims must meet the same standard as other ADA or Section 504 cases.
And Chief Justice Roberts wrote the opinion, and he vacated the lower court's decision, and he said that they had to go back and reevaluate these ADA and Section 504 claims under the deliberate indifference standard, saying that you can't require families and students to show a higher burden of proof simply because the discrimination happened in a school.
So the result of this case is essentially that educational institutions now have to face consistent liability standards and that all students can pursue remedies more equitably, that you don't have to reach this higher level of proof to access care.
So this marks a critical expansion of civil rights protections for students with disabilities by removing the uniquely high barrier that had been applied previously in certain districts. So it aligns educational disability discrimination claims within the broader ADA and Rehabilitation Act enforcement.
And this can be really important for families with kids who need more flexible scheduling, who need more medical accommodations, who need more supports at school.
So even though this ruling is quite narrow in scope, it's simply about what is the standard of evidence needed for ADA and 504 claims in schools, it's powerful because it affirms that no student should face a legal disadvantage simply because they were discriminated against in a school.
So what's next for this case?
So this doesn't mean that AJT and her family have won. This argument was simply about what was the correct standard of evidence. So now this case gets kicked back down to the lower courts so they can decide on the Section 504 and ADA claims under the correct standard.
That's highly confusing.
It is, because they don't come to a decision as to whether she was discriminated against or not. They're simply saying that, hey, when you come to a decision about discrimination, it should be under this level of evidence. And it's not just for this case. This is going to reset the legal precedent across multiple federal circuits. Since, as you mentioned before, this originally came up in a 1982 case. So there's going to be a lot of changes as things catch up to this new legal standard.
And they'll be referring to this case for the next 40 years, just as we're referring to the case from 1982.
And schools are going to have to prepare themselves for more claims, given that the standard of evidence is now deliberate indifference, and that opens up the doors for families to have more pathways to bring claims under the ADA and Section 504.
Which is going to be really fascinating with all the changes that are being made in the Department of Education as we speak.
Well, that's also another interesting thing, because the Individuals with Disability Education Act, the IDEA Act, that they originally won under, that one is enforced by the U.S. Department of Education. And now there are subsequent claims that this case was about, Section 504, which is enforced by the Office for Civil Rights, and the American with Disabilities Act, which is enforced by DOJ and also the Office for Civil Rights. So we've talked before that with some of the changes to the Department of Education, the IDEA Act may be weakened, but this is opening another avenue for families to be able to pursue disability-related discrimination complaints in school.
And so that's our case for today. AJT versus Osseo, one of the very rare cases this season with a unanimous ruling.
And a unanimous ruling for disability justice, which just feels like a really important moment and one that we wanted to share, especially as so much in schools and health is under flux and changing. This is one thing that hopefully will help families have access to a free an equal education.
Positive health news?
Positive health news. We got to take it where we can find it.
Hopefully, as this case gets kicked back to the lower courts, there'll be even better health news for Miss AJT.
And that's our show for today. Please reach out to us on social media. We're at Rolling Forward on Instagram, Blue Sky, TikToks.
You can always send us an email at Rolling Forward Show, R-O-L-I-N, forward show at gmail.com.
And we'll be back next week with another 2025 SCOTUS decision. So stay tuned. But until then, we have for you a new song. Enjoy. She tried to learn, she showed up late. Not by choice, but by her fate. The school said no, they couldn't wait. Said they acted in good faith. Justice doesn't raise the bar for kids in wheelchairs, kids with scars. The court said equal, near and far. You don't need pain to make a case. You don't have to prove they meant you harm. To ask a school to do its part. The law says no, it then respond. That's how inclusion starts. It's not hot girl summer, it's SCOTUS summer. The robes are black and the vibes are bummer. Now folks dropping drama like it's pop confetti. I got constitutional whiplash, baby, and I'm not ready. How inclusion starts.